We are going to continue a series of teaching. It's coming from Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17. If you find it, would you please stand? There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. We want to focus on the last one here, or the third one, the hands that shed innocent blood. You may be seated. We're just simply going to title this teaching again, Aligning Your Heart with the Heart of God, Part 3. Father, my God, this morning, blessed indeed is thy name. Holy God, we bless thee. We thou now sanctify, I pray, the word that is about to be declared. May it bring glory to thy holy name. But may men and women understand that the God of heaven does see. Father, give us the ear to hear and the heart to do, thus says the Lord. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And it just says, amen. It all began on April the 6th, 1994. A plane carrying the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi was shot down over the capital city of Kigali, leaving no survivors. Within hours of the plane crash, roadblocks and barricades were set up by Hutu-controlled military, and the genocide of the Tutsi began. The mass killings in Kigali quickly spread from the city to the rest of Rwanda. Government-sponsored radio stations urging ordinary Rwandan citizens to murder their Tutsi neighbors. Within 3 months, 800,000 people were slaughtered. An average of about 99,000 persons a day. Among those that were slaughtered were the very vulnerable, the infants, women, some of them pregnant, and the elderly. It was a genocide that shook the entire world. Unfortunately, the Rwandan genocide is not atypical. Human history has been punctuated by such cruelty and barbaric atrocities where the weak, the defenseless, the vulnerable in their millions have been murdered in concentration camps, in gas chambers, in torture dungeons, through ethnic cleansing, through biochemical weapon, and the list goes on. However, these atrocities have not gone under the radar, but have stirred up our collective consciousness and has led to the categorization of this kind of crime as crimes against humanity. And the perpetrators sought, and many of them have been brought to justice. Now, if these kinds of atrocities will incite us to action as imperfect human beings, undoubtedly it will be seismic in the eyes of a perfect God. And the Bible unequivocally speaks to this fact, that the shedding of innocent blood is seismic in the sight of God. And from the onset of Scripture, God has expressed his great displeasure towards the shedding of innocent blood. And we can read one of those narratives that is nestled in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. And we read in this set of narrative, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, it was after the banishment of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. We're told that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived, and she bore a son named Cain. After a while, again, he knew his wife, and she conceived, and bore a son named Abel. We're told, according to Genesis chapter 4, that it came about over a course of time that Cain, who was a tiller of the ground, brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, who was the keeper of flocks, brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat portions to the Lord as an offering. Then we're told that the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain, he didn't have regard for his offering. This obviously kindled envy within the heart of Cain. And Cain became angry and his countenance fell. Then the Bible reminds us that God came to Cain to appeal to him. And he said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted?" And he reminded him, he said, "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and his desire is for you, but you, Cain, must have to master it. You have to take mastery over your envy. You have to curtail that desire to envy your brother, because that desire is evil." Cain obviously turned a deaf ear to the warning of God. And we're told that Cain presumably developed a sinister plan. And he spoke to his brother. And when he spoke to his brother, we're told that they went to the field together. And Cain rose, and in cold blood, he killed Abel, his own very brother. This was the first shedding of the blood, of innocent blood, we found in the Bible. The first premeditated murder we find in the pages of Scripture. Now, just like his parents in the previous chapter, who thought they could hide from God if they committed sin, Cain too presumably thought, since there was no law enforcement and no interrogation, no police, I'm good. But you can't do that with God, because he was dealing with an all-seeing God. And we're told that God came to Cain and he asked him a question that was meant to prompt Cain to confess. He said, "Cain, where is Abel, your brother?" Just as he asked his father in the garden, he said, "Adam, where are you?" The same pattern. He said, "Cain, where is your brother?" Not because God did not know, but God was trying to prompt Cain to confess. And in his belligerent, arrogant attitude, Cain responded to God, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Then the Lord said to him, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." John Calvin had a beautiful commentary on this verse, and this is what it says. God holds the life of man too dear to allow innocent blood to be shed with impunity. Though Abel was speechless when his throat was being cut, or in whatever other form he lost his life, But after death, the voice of his blood was more louder than the eloquence of any orator. Cain, for the first time we find in the Bible, God told him that Cain, the blood still cries out. And that is the key about the sin of shedding the blood. Because the blood cries out. Perhaps this might be a metaphoric statement, but perhaps it might be the call of the blood that still cries out. And we now go to the book of Revelation, and we see when the seal, one of the seals was opened, they said under the throne of God was the martyred, those that were martyred for the name of Christ. And they cried out to God, God, when are you going to avenge our blood? The blood still cries out. That is why the shedding of innocent blood is important to God. And God now moves from the accusation to the judgment on Cain. He said, because of what you've done, Cain, cursed are you. A vagabond and a wanderer you shall be on the earth. That is why several millennia later, the psalmist will now remind us of God's hatred towards the shedding of innocent blood. Psalm 5 and 6 says, thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhor the man of bloodshed and deceit. Solomon also will write, 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. The haughty eyes, the lying tongue, the hands that sheds innocent blood. Well, someone might say to me, Pastor Wiley, listen, I can identify with that sin because I've never shed innocent blood. And I believe that's true, perhaps for vast majority of Christians and vast majority of you sitting here, because if you've shed innocent blood, you'll probably be locked up in prison. Well, the reason you're here is probably either you got away with murder or you didn't do no murder. Can I get an amen? But there is another angle to understanding this notion of shedding of innocent blood that's often overlooked. And that angle matters greatly to God. And that has to do with the condoning of the act. Let me work it out. You can say categorically that I have never committed the act of shedding innocent blood, which is true. But the question now comes, are you condoning the act? And at times, such condoning of the act can come in a desensitization to very touchy issues like abortion. Whoa, Pastor Wally, that's heavy. Please explain yourself. Let me go into the theology of abortion. Unlike some will advocate or postulate, life does not begin at the time of birth. From biblical perspective, life actually begins in the mind of God. Let's look at scripture this morning as students of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. God says to Jeremiah during his commissioning, he said, before I formed you, yada, the Hebrew word, yada you, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, and I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. I want you to pay very close attention to that first sentence. Before I formed you, I knew you. The Hebrew word has to do with not a faint, glancy knowing. It's a word that is yada, which means to know in an intimate, personal way. Before Jeremiah was ever conceived, before his mother and his father came into a relationship, God had already knew him. God already said, Jeremiah, you have life. And not only for Jeremiah, our life did not begin at conception, but it began at the mind of God. David will reiterate the same thing when David says in Psalm 139, he said to us here, he said, Than eyes have seen, verse 16, he said, Than eyes have seen my own form substance. And in that book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not even one of them. Implication of what David is saying, like Jeremiah, is that, listen, it is not the conjugal relationship between a man and a woman. It is not a conception. It is not a time of birth that defines birth. Birth is defined in the mind of God. And this is the implication. It's obvious to me. I don't know whether it's to you. That is why when you say in abortion that I'm getting rid of a flake, get rid of a flake that doesn't matter. You got to understand that that flake was a person, as a person in the mind of a sovereign God. That flake has got a purpose in the mind of a sovereign God. That flake has got a personality in the mind of a sovereign God. That you can decide to terminate it because you believe that you have the freedom to over your own body to choose. I'm not a politician. I'm a Bible teacher. But when you look in the pages of Scripture, you will understand from the pages of Scripture that this societal vice is something that is hateful and disgusting and is nauseating to our God. In the year 2017, 800,000 abortions were performed. That was down 19% from 1,900,000 or something in the year 2011. That, to me, is the shedding of innocent blood. I'm not preaching this as a politician. Preaching as a oracle of God. And while the act is there, the desensitization becomes a problem. That we as believers will look the other way as if it doesn't matter. The desensitization to God is being in cahoots with the perpetrators. We have an obligation. And the obligation as we come to scriptures like this is not to say, I didn't do it. It's the fact is that who are doing it? Are you standing for what is right and what is wrong? Or are you being swayed because you believe this is a political issue? I don't want to stay on someone's side. No, stay on God's side. Become a Bible student of the Word of God. Stand for what is right. It's the shedding of innocent blood. Because that flake is a person in the mind of a holy God. But while the sin of shedding innocent blood might be hated by God, it is not the unpardonable sin. Like every other sin that God hates, there is good news this morning. My goal is not to make you feel guilty. My goal is to lead you to the good news. And the good news is the cross of Jesus. Because it's at the cross of Jesus that the infinite God of heaven in his holiness And at the cross, the conversion of the holiness and the love of God met on a man that hanged on that cross. That today, through his death, he will deliver you and I from the power of sin and the pollution of guilt. That no matter what you've done, that at the cross of Jesus you can find freedom. Fanny Crosby put this well in a song that has been immortalized in many of our minds. To God be the glory. And in the second stanza, she says this word, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus is pardon received. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Because no matter how much you've gone, there's hope. There is hope. Even the vilest offender, there is hope. That you might say, Pastor Wally, I got it wrong. But there is hope in Jesus. There is good news at the cross of Christ. And the good news is that sin no longer has power and the guilt can be washed away. It will wash you white as snow. And I'm so glad. Because I could be counted among the numbers. And I've been washed. I've been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. So what does this mean to me this morning? God's hatred for the shedding of innocent blood is because of the value and the worth he places on every human life. God values every human life. We tend to value life based on material possession. God values life because he made you in his image. He made you in his likeness. That is why we honor and we respect life. That is why we preach the sanctity of life. That God honors life. What does this mean to me this morning? To align your heart with the heart of God, you must honor life. Not only your life, but the life of every single soul. In a culture where we are divided and people think someone is less than they, that is not God's way. Every man, the man in the gutter, is as worthful before God as the man sitting on the yacht somewhere in his billions. And God one day will balance every scale because to whom much is given, he will require much. I tender to you in closing this morning, church. Yes, God hates the shedding of the blood. But the cross gives the hope that a sinner can find liberty. My Father, my God, and this morning, O God, we thank thee. We thank thee for mercy. We thank thee for grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. And Father, we thank thee for mercy. We thank thee for grace. I thank thee this morning for a young man who walked in the path, O God, of sin years and years ago. a young man whose hand too was defiled by blood, but a young man that the Lord Jesus changed his life. And today, that young man can speak to the redemption at the cross of Jesus. Father, may thou give hearing here to every soul. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let you say amen.